Hello, thank you for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my guest, Paul Blinoff.
Hello, everyone.
How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. How are you, Graham?
I'm excellent.
Great. No,
Paul, you are a senior player at Rapid Fire Theater.
That is correct, yes.
You also are, I believe, soon going to be learning to be a chef.
That's correct, in the fall.
Yeah, see, if I'd known that, I would have waited a year or two, and then you could have, brought me food.
Yeah, there would have been a full cuisine to go with this this interview, but one day.
I'll just interview you again in a couple of years.
Right.
Awesome.
2 years. 2 years I'll be done the program.
2 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, then 2 years. Let's get in the diary.
Yeah,
right,
reconvene.
Now.
Get out of ICAL.
Sounds good. And you also, at the moment, work at the, is it L University? No, a university. It's the...
Yeah, Art Gallery of Alberta.
That's what I meant to say.
That old thing. Yeah, and then I do some freelance writing and things like that around town in my non-improv life.
Your non-improv. Yeah, I didn't realize you did sketch comedy as well.
Yeah. I started doing it with my friend Amy Shostak, who used to be the artistic director of Rapid Fire. And it was sort of a dumb bit we just like jumped on and riffed hard on. And then at that time, some friends were running a comedy show. And so we did a bit there and it went well. And onward and onward and onward. But Amy now lives in Vancouver. We still write and perform stuff together. But we've, with her gone, we work less frequently, obviously. So I've been writing a bunch of stuff by myself, which is a fun, weird challenge. That's sort of like, can I do a sketch scene by myself? Can I flex that muscle? Can it still work as comedy? How much is improv? Can I get away with and still call it like a written sketch? All those things.
Do you find it quite, you're writing sketches on your own. Do you find that challenging? I mean, you think it's funny in your head, but how do you test it out? How do you know if it's funny?
That's, I mean, that is the question. Yeah. I usually, first, I'll agree to do a show without writing anything because that gives me the deadline I need. Then I have to come up with something. And then from there, I just sort of, I make a lot of lists. I find lists very useful for written comedy. And then, not that the list itself may ever see the light of day, but something that comes out of that list will resonate, and I will get excited about it. And that's usually a good sign that, like, if nothing else, there was something that legitimately got me excited to do and perform. And so that's probably what I'll figure out for that particular show or whatever it is. And usually they go pretty well. Sometimes they don't. And then you're like, okay, that's fine. Not again.
Edit that out.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to ever do it again.
Can you remember the very first sketch you did that you did live and you went, oh, it worked. It worked really well.
Yeah, I have there's a sketch. I don't know if it was the first one I did by myself. It might have been. But there's a sketch comedy show in town called Odd Wednesday. And I think this was for its very first iteration. I had this idea of I just wanted to do like, sort of like a strike, like call and response, like we're on strike. What do we want? When do we want it? That sort of thing. But to really just chant with the audience of like, what do we want? Okay, let's find consensus. When do we want it? You know, why do we want it? And just like sort of see what I could get out of them, I guess. See what they'd be willing to engage with in a very silly idea. And it worked really well. I remember being like very... about halfway through being like, it's working. Yes, it's all happening as not according to plan, but it's happening in a way that I'm excited by it and they're invested in it. So I think it was that one that was like, yep, okay, I can do something very strange and involve the audience in an unusual way by myself. And that makes it feel like I'm not by myself on a stage. It's like they're also engaging with this in some way.
And it's a mixture of, as you said, you had an idea, it was a sketch. But really, a lot of it was improv.
Yeah, like there were some ways there are some places in it. If I think about, I'm performing this sketch again for the first time since then this weekend. So I've been thinking about it a lot. And there are parts when it's like pretty open ended, when it can really be any whatever they decide to give me or whatever they can find consensus in giving me. And then there are parts that sort of bottleneck it that are like the audience will see where it's going and. At least the first time, anyways. I guess we'll find out this weekend if it works again. But they sort of come back on that, and then they can sort of go in whatever direction they want again. But yeah, it's fun. It's a fun mix of improv and written, and that's a fun dynamic to navigate. Because I like, as far as involving an audience in what you do with sketch and solo stuff, I never really like getting pulled on stage by myself. So I don't want to, as much as I can, avoid being like, you come on stage now, help me do the bit. But there, it's interesting to find ways to involve the audience other than them watching this thing with a fourth wall up, you know, even if it's just knowing who they are in the context of whatever the scene is. I do another one where it's like a family meeting and I'm a dad just like, you know, your mother and I told you some little lies over your life and we just want to correct some of them, you know, and tell you the truth now and some of that. Even that, like, that's less interactive, but at least, like, they know who they are in this scenario. And I think that if they buy in, then that makes it easier to buy in. So,
yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so.
Have you ever done a solo, like, which is all improv? Like, I know Lee Boyce, for example, has his Legion, which is all improv on his own.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that or wanted to do that? Or are you more comfortable in that kind of mélange, to use a fancy word?
Yeah, so fancy.
Thank you. That mélange of scripted and...
and written a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've done some solo improv, not in a long form like Lee, where it's just for 20 or 40 minutes, he's just going and telling these stories. I've usually done it in the context of theater sports, Rapid Fire's sort of flagship show. So it's like short form improv, but finding games I can do by myself. Whether that was because it was a very light night for players or just like we're doing the sort of theater sports championship this year, which is like a bracket, a fun bracket of different teams. And one of those is me by myself. So I'll have to do more of it. But finding games or ways to, again, involve the audience in that. It's a fun, weird challenge to be by yourself and trying to make it up because so much of improv is, you know, about your scene partner and what you're getting from them. And so it's an interesting, yeah, it's been a challenge to myself, I guess, to start exploring that in both sort of half-written ways and also in improv. But, you know, it's a rush. It's certainly a thrill of like, oh, got to do something now. No one's coming in to save this scene. Got to claw my way out of whatever hole I've dug myself into and see how that works.
Have you ever thought of doing musical improv?
I've done it in like theater sports when it's been like, we're doing a singing game, but I've never done a long form. I don't really have a singing voice. I mean, I can try, I guess, but I have no training. Sometimes that can work. Sometimes that all works out. Sometimes they're playing in the right key that's right for you and everything sounds great. Or sometimes it's like, okay, I got to just power through this line and then pull back and let someone help me out.
Maybe you should be doing the musical improv class in, is it May or June, I think?
Honestly, maybe. We'll see. I've been used as a pawn in a musical improv class. There was a workshop that was taught, I think, in the high school festival a couple of years ago where it was an improv workshop for musical improvisers. Joel Crichton was the person who taught it. And then so there were three improvisers. It was me, Vincent Forcier, and Jolene Ballandine. We're there to do the scenes, but really the workshop was on everyone else. It was sort of these people getting a chance to score those scenes and add this or try those sorts of things. So it was cool to see that side of it. But yeah, on the other side of it, maybe. I always like learning. I still take as many workshops as I can whenever someone comes through town. There's a lot to be learned, and even just to hear someone else say something in a different way is still... gives me tools. And as a teacher, it's often a little bit of like watching how someone else teaches or stealing their games or warm-ups or things.
Yeah, because, well, that's one thing we didn't mention at the introduction is you're also a teacher. You teach at Rapid Fire as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You're my teacher.
I am right now.
Level 4.
It's fun.
Halfway through.
Mm-hmm. How are you finding it?
I love it.
Great.
You teach at Rapid Fire, but you're also in charge of, is it the fest? I'm not sure what exactly the title is again.
Am I sure what my title is now? It's Associate Director of Education Youth. Yeah, so I run our high school festival, Wildfire, which is a 3-week festival that Graham knows well at this point.
Yeah.
Because you were here almost every day of it in February.
Yes, right.
And then NAIL, which is the Northern Alberta Improv League, which is like a monthly version or a twice monthly for us. But schools come sort of once a month from October to May. And do shows. And there's just more chances for those kids to have stage time and get to know each other and get to know their sort of high school level improv community coming around. And that's new. This is my first year in the job. So
it's fun.
Still learning. Still getting there.
I'm just curious what the similarities or differences are between high school improv, as you see it when they come to the show, and improv done with, say, the senior players or the junior players.
Sure. I think to some extent, and I don't mean this to be like self-depreciating, but sometimes the teens are better. And it's because it's a new thing they're discovering. They love it so much. And they're practicing it often, depending on your high school team. Maybe teams meet once a week or, you know, maybe even twice a week, depending on the team. And so they spend a lot of time doing it as well, and always with the same group. So they really get group dynamics. And if they really commit, and if they have a really great teacher, and they can build those skills, they can do truly astounding things. This is my first year in this job, but I've been involved with this festival more or less since I was in high school, since I left it. There's always, I feel like I've seen every possible iteration of a barbershop scene in my life. But also there's always at least one scene per high school festival that blows me away and is something I've never seen before, or a game I've never seen before that now we all want to try, or is just done so well. There was a team this year who did a tap-out monologue, but it was a wrap-out monologue, so they're all rapping the whole time. And I just remember there was this moment when about halfway through, without anyone saying anything or cueing anyone, some people were doing the beat when they weren't doing the actual rapping. Everyone just got faster. And you felt the whole room be like, oh, what? What? It was amazing. You know, it got a partial standing ovation. That's not to just slam and dunk on my fellow senior improvisers. There's something to be said for having reps. I feel like one thing about having done this for a long time, I think I first started doing improv in like 2003, is a long time ago now. I feel like I am pretty good when a show isn't going the way I want it to. I am pretty good at having tools to try and change that as best I can, whether inside of scenes or thinking about what does the show as a whole need right now. We had wanted to do this, but I don't think that's going to work based on the audience or the energy or whatever's going on. Let's do this instead. So I feel like that's a thing we do well, as opposed to the teens. But also they do that well too. So maybe not. Maybe they're just the future is coming and I need to accept it. And I am helping shepherd it in, which is a nice thing to be, I guess.
Well, it's a good opportunity in your position to see this talent coming up.
Yeah.
And to, in some ways, have an opportunity to shape that.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. And to try and do that and make sure there are as many opportunities for them as we can offer, and that those opportunities are useful, and that we can give them the feedback to sort of, grow and become amazing improvisers. So then if they, whether or not they do improv any other time in their life, they hopefully will also at least appreciate it as a form. Improv is sometimes, seen as like, it's disposable. It's, you make it up and you walk away and that's it. But it's also like, it can also be a shooting star, was something someone said once, Dave Morris. And that was like, that's a nice way of thinking of it too, is like, it can be magic. It can be this little moment that you're all like, yeah, cool. So maybe if they don't become improvisers, some of them will, some of them won't in the rest of their life, but at least maybe then they'll know the shooting star possibilities of it, and they'll still enjoy it as an art form and like that they were involved with that art form.
Thank you for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Grant Pate, and my special guest, Paul Blinov. Listen in next week when Paul and I will continue our conversation about all things to do with improv.